2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. How many are there? Amen. Sound like about half of you. Do we need more time or everybody there? Everybody there? I struggle with sometimes. I want to put all of these scriptures on the screen, and we do some of them, but I really, honestly, I'd like you to see this in your own Bible, because the key to successful Christian living is to have your own encounter with God, to get in your own Bible, and to study and read it for yourself. Amen. You shouldn't even take what I say for granted. You should make sure that what I'm saying is lining up with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's make that the standard, right? It's not what the pastor says or any pastor says. It's what God's Word says. And so hold me to that standard. You may never know. I may be on my way to church someday and a hammer fall off a shelf and hit me in the head, and I come in here saying crazy stuff. And you're like, I think he's off a little bit today. So come on. We want to see this in the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to give you an encouragement, an admonition to not prove yourself anymore. I would like to tell the Church of Jesus Christ beyond these walls, gathered here today, I think we're a little too focused on trying to please the world. We're a little too focused on what people think of us. We want people to think well of us. We want people to like us. We want people to think we're nice people. And there's nothing wrong with being nice people, but you can't nice someone into heaven. No one's going to say, they were so nice, I'm going to heaven now. People will encounter Jesus Christ and repent of their sin, and He will transform them. He will handle the people coming to Jesus. And I think the main thing, and I want to share this, and we're going to get to the scripture here, is we need to make sure that we are honoring Him and pleasing Him, number one, right? That's the goal. We work and serve an audience of one. Now, I'm not advocating acting like idiots or acting like jerks. By all means, that is not what I'm saying. Right? We have to have the fruit of kindness. Amen. That's very important. But we must understand that we are not in this world trying to prove ourselves to the rest of the planet. And I'm starting to see a lot of that. Maybe not starting. I've seen it for a while. Christians feel this need to try to relate more to the world and trying to figure out how, you know, we can change our service up so it'll feel more at home to people that, you know, I don't want my service to feel at home to anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Him to come in and say, I'm at home. And when we have other standards, and again, I'm not suggesting we don't be nice and friendly and all that. Just, you know, skip that, because you know that. I believe, in fact, we welcome you today. If this is your first time at Destiny, so glad you are here. Fill this out. We'll give you gifts. We'll hug you. We'll high five you. We'll shake your hand. And we're honored to have you today. We love you. If you're watching online, same thing. Click the link below the video and you can fill that out. But we want to tell you we welcome you. But our number one guest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 2, chapter 1 says He is the one who walks among the lampstands. So I don't need the world to like me. I need the one who walks among the lampstands to like me. I need Jesus Christ to be honored. Are you here? I need Jesus to be honored when He comes into the house of God. So that's kind of where I'm coming from today. Just so you know. 2 Peter 3. I promise we'll read it. We'll really read it this time. Dear friends, this is already the second letter I have written to you in which I am trying to stir you up. Now see right there, I'm dying to preach right there, but I'm going to stop. Let's keep reading. Trying to, imagine going to church and being stirred up. That's good. All right. Yeah. Stir up your pure mind by way of reminder. I want to recall both the predictions foretold by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, understand this. Okay, are you ready? He's talking to us. Understand this. In the last days, blatant scoffers will come. Being propelled by what? I like what the NET says. Their own evil urges. When someone is propelled by their own evil desires, what are they doing? They're trying to do what? Justify themselves. I don't want you just to say, I'm okay. I want you to agree with me. I want you to approve it, right? They're being propelled, but this is the Bible right here. This is like, man, it's like reads out of the newspaper. They will be propelled by their own evil urges and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Or where is his promised return? Talking about Jesus. For ever since our ancestors died, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately suppress this fact that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago and an earth was formed out of water and by the means of water through these things, the world existing at that time was destroyed when it was deluged with water. And by the same word, the present heavens, the word of God, by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Now, dear friends, do not let this one thing escape your notice, that a single day is like 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a single day. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some regard slowness, but is being patient toward you, because he does not wish for anyone to perish, but that all people come to repentance. What is God's will? That every single person on this planet be saved. That is God's will. Every single person. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. When it comes, the heavens will disappear with horrific noise and celestial bodies will melt away in a blaze and the earth and every deed done on it will be laid bare. Let's jump to verse 14. Therefore, dear friends, since you are waiting for these things, strive to be found at peace without spot or blemish when you come into his presence. And regard the patience, I'm telling you, I'm going to mount speakers on top of this church and I'm going to aim them all. I'm going to aim them 360 around this building. Like every Sunday morning, I'm hearing. We can make a loud too. Come on. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some things in his letters are hard to understand, things the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do with the rest of scriptures. I just want to stop there. Did you see him call Paul's writing scripture? Did you see that? Isn't that interesting? This is probably 50, 60 AD. It wasn't long. Paul began writing and his letters began, because I'm just talking to you about the origins of the New Testament here. Paul's writings began to be circulated and churches were already considering them to be scripture. Right? Just an interesting side note there. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard that you do not get led astray by the error of these unprincipled men and fall from your firm grasp of the truth. Everyone say, do not fall from the firm grasp on the truth, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the honor both now and on that eternal day. Jesus, we love you. We bless you. Lord, you are awesome. We thank you for your goodness. We bless your holy name. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts and change our lives today in the name of Jesus. In fact, lay your hand on your heart right now and just repeat that. Pray it with me. Dear Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Today, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So as I mentioned a moment ago, there are many believers, and in fact, too many believers that are concerned about the world's opinions, trying to prove themselves to the world. And what has made this really difficult is we've had some definitions redefined in today's culture. Love has been redefined. Hate has been redefined. Truth has been redefined. When I grew up in the 80s and, you know, and this country was founded on this principle that, you know, we could get together, we could debate, we could disagree, you know, we could share ideas and, you know, all of us had the dream of entering into this arena of ideas and engaging people like the ancient Greeks used to do and convince people that your point is correct. And those are the principles of our country. And that is the principles that we were founded on. And I remember we had debate teams in high school and that was like a big thing. And you could go and you could disagree about something and then you could go get a pizza afterwards with somebody you disagreed with and it was fine. But I've noticed today that simply is not the case anymore. Everyone understands and everyone realizes we have a very divided country, and it's no longer, you're free to think how you want. You're only free to think in a certain way, in a certain direction. And if you disagree with that, then they want you to shut your mouth. Now, I believe you can believe whatever you want. You can choose whatever path. This is America, right? You can choose whatever path you want. But I know that we have the freedom to express our opinions. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of speech. And we're supposed to have the freedom to declare and talk about ideas in this arena of ideas that we live in here. But today in America, as you know, we have a brand new dominant religion. That religion is leftism. And I want to tell you right now, there is no way to rectify leftism with Christianity. Can't be done. I don't want to say names today. That's not why I'm here. But there's some very popular preachers. You all have probably seen the news this week who have come out and said some very anti-scriptural things and some taken some very anti-scriptural positions. And I want to tell you what that is people bowing down to the pressure of trying to reconcile scripture and reconcile the Christian faith to the new dominant religion of leftism. I want to tell you, you cannot do it. It is clear in the Bible, either we do it God's way or not. Either we serve Jesus or we don't. There is only one way to heaven. Acts 4:12 says, there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, you cannot try to reconcile Jesus with leftism and try to make it all fit, even though people do. But the Bible warns about that. Some of you have been a victim of this kind of approach from someone where they say, well, I thought you were a Christian. A real Christian would be okay with everyone doing whatever they wanted because that's love, just letting people do whatever they want and being okay with it. No, that's not a real Christian. That's not even what real love is. Or how about this one? If you really believed in love, you would do this. You would say this. You would believe this. Or here's another one you hear today. Jesus never really talked about that one. Jesus really never said that. You know, Jesus, there's not a verse in the New Testament about beating your wife, but I'm pretty sure you can take the rest of the scripture and say, beating your wife is not okay, even though there's not a verse where Jesus said, ye shall not beat your wife. I think you would, it's pretty clear though from what Jesus taught and about love, a man loving his wife as he loves his own body and all things else, all the things that are taught, we get the principles that it's pretty much pretty clear that, you know, that's something that's wrong. We don't need an exact verse, but yet people will say, well, there's not, and sometimes they're just plain wrong. Sometimes there is a verse on some things. I'm not, again, that's what I'm up here to get into that today, but I'm just trying to give you this overview of where we're at, where we have the Church of Jesus Christ. We got people who say they follow Christ, and yet they're trying to straddle a fence. They're trying to straddle some line. They're trying to please everybody around them. And it's really kind of like moving the goalpost, right? I mean, redefining words, creating false flags to measure you by. And this is why I say, Christian, stop trying to prove yourself to the world. You're never going to do it. The only way you can do it is to totally deny Christ. That's what they want. I love what the Apostle Paul said. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 and... Whoop, let's go back. I like that. Where's that verse? Give me that... you have to help me there, Brother Ulysses. Skip me to Galatians 1. There we go. Yeah, we had it. Paul said, am I now trying to gain the approval of people or of God? This question could be asked today in the churches in 2023 America. Am I trying to gain the approval of people or God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave to Christ. You know what he is saying here? If I'm trying to please people, then I can't be serving Christ. That's why preachers, we're just having this talk this morning with someone, preachers, pastors, we'll be judged. The Bible tells us this. We'll be judged at a different level than everybody else. Because we have the microphone in our hand. we influence people with what we say, good and bad. And that should come as a very, very serious weight on every preacher's shoulders to understand that what we say, there are people that cling to that. And we have the ability to mislead people. That's why I told you at the beginning, make sure that you're checking me with the Bible. Don't just take everything I say wholesale. Make sure it can be backed up in the Bible, because there are false preachers and false prophets today that are standing in pulpits and they have large followings, popular authors. I could name them. And they're saying things that aren't biblical, that aren't true. And there's a whole bunch of folks that are saying, well, if Brother so-and-so said that, then it must be okay. Then there's a whole other bunch of people, and this is where pastors like me got to be careful too. They're silent on everything. They'll say things, well, it's not our position to take a position. Well, listen, the church is the moral center of our country. If pastors aren't standing up and declaring truth, if pastors and preachers aren't declaring what the Bible says and being honest, I want to tell you, who's going to do that? I never get tired of reminding you, one of the reasons slavery fell back in the 1800s was because there were preachers in pulpits like this who stood up. They were called abolitionists, and they said it is an evil and it's a moral wrong for slavery to exist in this country. Slavery must end. Now, that wasn't a popular message in some portions of our country, but these preachers didn't care. To be a voice for righteousness is what God has called us to do. With Jesus, and I want to dive into our passage here in just a second. Brother Ulysses, go back to that Jesus Saves shirt. Get me back there, man. Yeah. When Jesus faced temptation, just a little more of my intro, then I'm going to dive right in. When Jesus faced temptation from Satan, you know, it was really an attack on Jesus. And it really, you know, twice Satan said, if you are the Christ, then why don't you prove yourself to me? Twice he said that. With the bread, and he took him to the temple, throw yourself down. If you're really the Christ, if you're really God, if you're really the Messiah, then the angels will come and catch you up and save you so you don't dash your foot against a stone. He quotes the Bible to him even. But this is an attack of Satan that will come against you, just like it came against Jesus. And they'll say, if you're really a Christian, then you need to prove yourself. And the proof is always their little hoop that they have created. If you're really a Christian, then you'll believe this, or you'll jump through this hoop, or you'll do this. But I want to tell you, that is an attack from Satan, is what that is. And Jesus felt no need to prove himself. Right? When Satan said, if you're the Son of God, command that this monitor be turned into a massive baked bread loaf with butter dripping off of it. I know you're hungry, Jesus. You've been fasting out here for 40 days. And Jesus felt no need to prove himself. In fact, he came back kind of 2 points with Satan. Number one, you're wrong. Man does not live by bread alone. Secondly, for a man to have a full life, he's got to live by the Word of God. And that's what I'm doing right now, devil. So shut up. Even when certain Pharisees came to Jesus asking him to prove himself with a sign. Like, Jesus did lots of miracles, right? Y'all know that I love The Chosen, and I've been watching that. I want to encourage you, if you're not watching it, you need to check it out. You need to get in there. I was slow to get in it. I was kind of like, but I started, thanks to Madison Buxton. Thank you. I appreciate you. You really got us in it. I thank you. And I love that. I went to the theater on Friday night and we watched the finale of season 3. And some of y'all were there. And it is just so powerful. But you see the miracles of Jesus in it. I won't tell you how it ends because I don't want to ruin it for you if you're going to watch it. But I want to tell you, Jesus did a lot of signs. He did a lot of miracles. He did a lot. And it was just who he was. That's the gospel. It, you know, seeing people healed, seeing people delivered. That's just part of it. We don't have to like aim for that. We aim for Jesus. We aim for, you know, glorifying God and honoring Him. And all those things just happen. That's the gospel. But Jesus, we read several times, had Pharisees that would come to religious people and say, hey, you know what? If you're really who you say you are, then give us a sign. And what Jesus said to them, it is wicked people who ask for signs. And this is interesting because Jesus did many signs and wonders, but listen, they were never done because somebody demanded to see proof of his messianic reality. So I want to just roll off of your shoulders. You have no need to prove yourself to ungodly people. You need to love them. You need to be Jesus in front of them. Pray for them. Right? Serve them. Yeah, all of that. That's all good. But you have no need to prove yourself. No need to apologize for your biblical views. Stop doing that. Not that you are, but if you are, if you're, stop. Just don't. You don't need to apologize for what you believe and who you are. Number one, it's a free country. But number two, at least last I checked it was. And number two, we serve Jesus Christ. We serve another kingdom. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're not down here trying to make people happy and please people. We have an audience of one that we serve. Woo. Give us proof of your messianic divinity. No, sorry. Not going to do it. I want to show you this picture. You've been looking at this, wondering why it's on the screen probably. There was a man last week before. Maybe you saw this story in the news. He was wearing this shirt, the Mall of America. When he was surrounded by security guards, you can look it up, news story. Mall cops, Paul Blart was there. Okay, that last part's a joke. Mall cops came. They gathered around him. And they said, whoop. Yeah. They said, I'm sorry, sir, you're going to have to either change your shirt or leave. You can't have this shirt on. And of course, you know how the things are today. There's people that gather around stuff like that with their cell phones, like, you know, a bunch of vultures on a kill, like, oh, we're gonna videotape this and post it. And people couldn't figure out, like, well, Jesus saves. What's wrong with that message? And then a lady walked around behind him and saw what the back of his shirt said. And in her voice, you can hear it on the video. She says, oh, that's the problem. You see the problem? That message is an affront to leftism. All paths do not lead to heaven. All paths are not valid. There is only one way to heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ. It was because of this that this man was asked to leave or change his clothing. Here's another story just happened this week. Yeah, there is his shirt. This is our version of it that we have in our Destiny gear place. Very sweet lady right here. Her name is Mary Fulp. She is the principal of Colony High School in Palmer, Alaska. She was the 2022 Alaska Principal of the Year, public school. The freedom to worship and testify about one's faith and the workings of God in their life is, again, central to the founding and the uniqueness of America. Mary, here, real. I'm showing you the picture sticks. Let me see. These are real people. These are real stories. So she is an award-winning principal who committed the tremendous sin of going on Facebook and sharing on her personal Facebook page her testimony of what Jesus did in her life. She had had an encounter with God. She had been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in other tongues. And she did a Facebook post and she just said, I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. And I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave me the ability to do so. And suddenly, a day or two later, she is summarily detained by law enforcement against her will. She received a visit from two state troopers who said they had a court order, ex parte, which means she had no input on it. They're going to come and they're going to take you whether you like it or not. But they had an ex parte order to take her to the regional medical center there and where she lives in Alaska for mandatory psychological evaluation. You can watch her test. Nothing unusual. She was strapped to a gurney. She was held down by several staff. She was forcibly injected with psychotropic medication without her consent. This is America, friends. When I started this preaching stuff 30 years ago, this would have been another country. Now it's today in America. I want to tell you, we need to make sure with all of our heart that we are anchored on the rock of Christ Jesus and that we are here to please Him, not people. Because I want to tell you, the devil wants to weaken your stance. He wants to weaken your worldview. He wants to weaken all of that. And I want to tell you, the more persecution and pressure that we see, we're going to see more weak, limp-wristed pastors get into pulpits and compromise and say, you know what, it's either they'll say it's okay, or they'll say, oh, you know what, my position is not to take a position. Which I would say, then get out of the pulpit and make room for somebody who would, please. But this is why the Apostle Peter spoke much of times like this that we live in today. 2 Peter 2, chapter 3 is really a prophetic word about what is coming. He said, there's a day coming when scoffers will come and there'll be people that pursue their own lusts and they're trying to prove their points and they're trying to get everyone to okay their sin and they're trying to get everybody okay and they're going to come and they're going to mock, because there's nothing wrong with answering legitimate questions. If people have legitimate questions about Jesus, that's wonderful. But Peter doesn't say that. He said, these are scoffers. These are people that are mocking. These are people with an agenda. They have no interest in hearing you, what you have to say about Jesus. They are there to mock. And we have a lot of those today. And while we still have to love the mockers, I want us to understand what the Apostle Peter tells us. I'm going to give you three quick thoughts on what he calls us to do as a result. Number one, he said, when you find yourself living in these times, number one, live in purity, with nothing to hide. Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, since you're waiting for all this to happen, that's what he's talking about, the day of the Lord. You're waiting for this to happen. There's going to be scoffers. So what do you need to do? What kind of person? Do we sit around and worry? Do we sit around and buy 500 cans of green beans and put them in our basement and hunker down and wait for, you know, no, that's ridiculous. We have a job to do. We got food for 6 years. We got freeze dried. We got all kinds of stuff in the basement, brother. No. We are supposed to be the salt, the light, and the leaven for this world. We got to get out in the middle of it. Jesus didn't call us to be passive, church. So he said, what do we do? We are going to live in purity. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. You got to underline that word peace. Because you know what it doesn't mean? It doesn't mean in this verse, right? I'm not concerned what it means in other verses. I'm talking about what Peter said to us. Okay? Peace means not peace with my neighbors, even though we need to do that. He's talking about internal peace. In other words, if you look at this word, he's really saying that if you are conflicted inside, if you have hidden sin, or if you have a hidden life, and you're trying to juxtapose that with a public life where you say you're living for Christ, you are going to be a person that's not at peace. You're going to be turmoiled inside. And that's why he's saying you got to be pure, you got to be diligent, and you want to be found without spot or blemish and at peace. In other words, there is nothing hiding in you that is causing conflict. And if you've ever hidden sin before, I think you can agree with me, you feel conflicted. You feel like, it's a gross feeling. There's something that shouldn't be there. There's something that you've allowed. And this is what Peter is saying. In lieu of what is coming, in lieu of the fact that we have days where we live in a day when principals are being arrested because they share their faith on Facebook, or a brother is arrested in a mall because he has a audacity to wear a shirt that says Jesus is the only way. You need to be this kind of person. Make sure you live in purity with nothing to hide in your life. Y'all with me today? This is typical of how the Apostle Peter would write, because he just used the word exposed in verse 10. We read it. So he's circling back with kind of another reference to being exposed. Be diligent to be found without spot. Make sure you are at peace. Make sure there's no inner turmoil. Nothing to hide, because you're going to be laid bare. Your conflicts, the things that we have to walk through, are going to expose us. They're going to open you up for criticism. So make sure there's nothing evil in you that can be criticized. Let him criticize you because you believe Jesus is the only way. Let him criticize you because you got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. That's fine. We'll take that all day long and seven times on Sunday. But one thing they should not have room to criticize, that there's nothing evil inside of us. I'm not saying we're perfect, but I'm saying we are free from sin, and that we are, and if we do something, that we get it under the blood of Jesus and repent of it quickly. Can I tell you, Christians, I know that this will go against our cultural thoughts, but you all heard this saying, people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Can I tell you something? We all live in glass houses if you serve Jesus. Everybody watching you, everybody got their microscope on you. I shouldn't bother you. Bring it on. Bring it on if you have nothing to hide. You can hide cameras in my house. You can put hidden cameras. You can follow me around with a porter all day. You're gonna be probably very bored with what you see. When there's something that you're doing, however, when you know there's a conflict, you don't want someone to find out about something, I want to tell you that that's unrest. And this is what Peter is saying. Make sure this internal peace is born from a life of purity and a life of living correctly before the Lord. In other words, make sure your public life matches your private life. I've heard it said, and I've quoted this and said this many times, what you are in public is your courage. That's kind of easy to have courage. But what you are in private is your integrity. Your integrity is how you'll be judged before the Lord. And if there is some dissonance, if there is some discord between your courage and your integrity, my friend, there is a problem there. No one may ever notice it. It may go hidden, but I want to tell you who is not going hidden too. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he's calling his church to purity. Why? Because there's people that hate Jesus today that need to fall in love with him, and they need powerful, spirit-filled Christians who will love them despite of the ugliness that they spew, and give them Jesus and show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And the reason why there is discord sometimes, it really comes down to a spiritual battle. Darkness and light cannot dwell together. Good water and bad water cannot flow from the same source. So therefore, since we are in the age of scoffing, we must not focus on answering scoffers. We stop trying to prove ourselves, but rather pour ourselves into intimacy with Jesus, because it's all about him, church. It's all about him. We need to make sure that he is happy, not scoffers and mockers who won't be pleased anyway unless you renounce your faith entirely, which is really what they want. And I want to tell you, we don't need a prophetic word to know what God's will is. We have the Bible right in front of us to read it and to know what God... Come on. We need to get in that word. Nothing wrong with prophetic words. I love the prophetic. Y'all know that. I love it. But I want to tell you, you got the prophetic. You're holding it in your hand right now. Number two. Maintain your stability by staying true to God's word.
maintain your stability by staying true to God's word. We see this in verse 17. I'm going straight out of the scripture today. Verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Anyone ever felt like you're losing your mind before? I feel like I'm losing my mind. Well, I want to tell you something. If you try to please the world and please God, you will have that same feeling because you cannot do that. That's why I'm kind of, you've noticed this about me. I stand in direct opposition to this country club Christianity mentality that we're on the good ship lollipop and let's go play shuffleboard. I have a problem with it because we were born into a war of good against evil. And it's an ancient war. It's not personal. It's God versus Satan. And God created us. He has sent Jesus to redeem us from our sin and from the fall. And when we come to church, when we engage in genuine Christianity, if I could say that, or as genuine followers of Christ, there should be some spiritual conflict. You should feel that a little bit. You're awakened to that because it's like everyone, you get red-pilled, right? Y'all, some of y'all know what I mean by red pill, right? You get awoken to the fact that, whoa, there's something real, because Paul said, Ephesians 6:10, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits, principalities, rulers of darkness. And I have trouble with the country club Christianity. I have trouble with the country club mentality. I was talking with Jean this morning in the Revival Cafe. She was telling me about a pastor that she knows in Bethlehem. He's a Christian. Pastors a church in Bethlehem. He's Arab, but he became a Christian at some point in his life. And his church has been bombed because the town of Bethlehem, right? There's not a lot of Christians there anymore. And his church has been bombed 22 times. Can you imagine in Dayton if that kind of pressure was coming against the church? Yeah. How many people would still be coming to church? Thought COVID caused an exodus. What would that cause? Sorry, brother, I'm going to get a germ. I can't come. Sorry, brother, I might be dismembered today by a bomb. But yet people come to his church. They keep 22 buckets of water around the platform. You know why? Because if a bomb goes off somewhere in their church, they grab water and douse it immediately. It's happened so many times, they keep water. See, I just have a hard time with good ship lollipop Christianity. Hey, brother, come to our spring banquet. We're going to celebrate one another. I just made that up. I don't know if anyone's doing that or not. I'm just saying. Someone's going to say, yeah, he heard about that. No, I haven't. I haven't heard about anybody's spring banquet where they're going to celebrate each other. And there's nothing wrong with having fun. I'm not saying anything against that. There's nothing wrong with eating together. I get all that. Don't take this the other way. But what I'm saying, when we're here, when we're gathered, it's business. It's kingdom business. When we walk daily to our works, where we work, our jobs, our offices, wherever, our school, it's business. It's business. We're going to rub shoulders with people who need Jesus. It's business. There's people that need to be introduced to the awesome love of Jesus Christ. It's business. It's business. Some of us, we go home. It's going to be business. People in your home that don't know the Lord, your heart breaks for them, and you're praying for them, and you're asking God to break through in their life. I want to tell you, how can we take this thing lightheartedly? So maintain your stability by staying true to God's word. The lawless men the Apostle Peter speaks of here are preachers and teachers in the church, and they have twisted the scripture to accommodate ungodly beliefs. This was the state in the early church. It's still true today. The reality is we feel the need to prove ourselves when we actually overvalue someone's opinion. You ever thought of that? I want to prove myself to someone. The reality is because you care too much about what they think. Let me say it that way.
This is why we must be free from the fear of man. We must be free from the fear of what people think. Now, I get it. I mean, again, you don't want to be a jerk. You don't want to come across with bad breath. That's why we brush our teeth and, you know, use cologne. Please continue, right? That's wonderful. But what I am saying is we must be free from the opinion of man. We must not overvalue the opinion of people who do not carry kingdom mentality. The opinion, again, that we must seek to serve and please is the opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when preachers cannot stand up for righteousness, they have lost their value. The Bible tells us that there'll become a day, and we're here, where preachers will get up and they will preach a gospel of accommodation. And it will be accommodation instead of transformation. The real gospel is a gospel of transformation. If any man or woman be in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Okay. The gospel of accommodation is, hey, you can just keep living in all that. It's okay. Just say a prayer with me and you're good. No. That's why there's a cross in this thing. Becoming a Christian is a place of death. You die to yourself. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's the message that needs to be preached in churches today, not just the world. We need that in the church. If any man will come after me, he's got to do what I'm going to do. Take up a cross and follow. And where are we going to go with that? We're going to walk around with a cross like Arthur Blessed for the next 30? No, we're going to a place of death. We're going to die to ourselves so Jesus Christ can come and fill us and transform us. It's the gospel of transformation. We repent of our sin. We repent. We do a 180 from our sin. We turn away and we turn towards Christ, and that is what draws. Then suddenly, boom, the power of God comes in. He'll transform us and make us new inside. What it is. That's why Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to how the world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Acts 3:19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You see, it's that refreshing of the Lord that America needs. It's the refreshing of the Lord that many people need. Some in the church remind us, listen, of children who don't want to take their medicine. And the medicine is bubblegum and strawberry flavored. But they still don't want to take their medicine. Because if they took their medicine, they would be healed. They would feel better. They'd be well. Yet they thrash and they resist. And instead, what we need to do, listen, is fully submit to Jesus. Repent. Turn to God. So all the sin will be wiped out. And the times of refreshing will come. Some people today, they are living with turmoil. They don't have inner peace. Because they're trying to be one thing at one place and something else somewhere else. And it's causing just a conflict inside. And Jesus is saying, I've got the medicine. And we're thrashing like a bunch of five-year-olds. I don't want to take it. We'll give it to you strawberry flavored. It's bubblegum flavored. It's blue. You know what medicine was like when I was a kid? It wasn't blue. It wasn't red. It was clear and it was bitter. Like, you're going to take it and like it. Show you how far we've come. When I went to the doctor when I was a kid, this is no joke. My doctor was a chain smoker. Some of y'all think I'm making this up. I'm not. Dr. Omler, I'm sure he's not on the earth anymore. He'd come in, man, had a cigarette hanging out. He had ashtrays all over the office. You walk in like a haze, man. He walk in the office, had a cigarette hanging. How are you doing? Good. How are you? And like he'd get me real close, you know, do whatever, push their nodules here, whatever, your glands, or I don't know. Some of y'all medical people can describe that. So, you know, I had this dude had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He was like this far from my face. I this weird, just odd day, right? You couldn't imagine. Even if your doctor smoked today, he wouldn't come in walking in the office and, how's it going? Give me your kid here. Let me check him. I look down his throat. Now you smell his nicotine stained fingers. Like, oh, I think you have a little bit of a cough. I was like, yeah, since you walked in, I have a little bit of a cough. In fact, I think I'll feel better as soon as I leave. Well, let me give you some medicine. Here it is. Nasty tasting stuff. Ugh. Ugh. Ugh.
And I feel like today the church in America has been so blessed. We don't have 22 buckets of water sitting around the front. We got air conditioning. We have heat. We got soft chairs to sit in. We even connect them. So if you need more space, you could slip over on another one too, right? You know, we've got lighting. We've got, people that put salt on the parking lot and all these little things that we do to make it strawberry and bubble gum. And still people walk in. And I'm just talking about church people. The Lord is calling us to surrender and submit to Him. Because I want to tell you, you're not going to maintain stability. You're not going to maintain stability in your life or your mind if you are not fully submitted to Jesus Christ. Let me just encourage you, get all in now. Don't wait. If you're watching online, man, don't wait. Go for it right now. Go with Christ. Go all in. Finally, the last thing, and I'm closing. I'm shutting up. Number three, his third thought, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what the Apostle Peter says. This is verse 18, just the next verse right down the line here. But grow in grace. He said, what kind of people ought we to be knowing that this is all coming? Okay, he gave us the first two things we just talked about. And then number three, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grow in His grace and knowledge. In other words, get close to Jesus. Go all in with Him, whatever it takes. You ever wonder what it'll be like when we stand before God? Could you imagine that the moment you leave your body, the Bible says you're going to be present with the Lord, and you're going to stand in the presence of the Lord. Could you imagine, just imagine with me for a second what that's going to feel like? Do you think in those moments that you're going to say, you know what, I wish I hadn't gone to church so much, or I wish I'd have stayed away from more of those prayer meetings. I wish I hadn't read my Bible so much. You won't be saying that. You're going to be saying, dear God, I wish I would have been there more. I wish I'd have read my Bible more. I wish I'd have prayed more. Because in His holy presence, I want to tell you, man, when the presence of God descends, that's just like when the number one qualities you feel is His holiness. Which makes sense because the living creatures that are around the throne say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. What I'm trying to tell you is why we are on this globe, while we're living on this rock, we got to do everything we can do to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have to shun cultural norms. Do I need to spell that out? Are we good there? Why do you guys pray so much? Because it's not a cultural norm. About 40% of churches in America even offer anything considered a weekly prayer meeting. About 60% do not. Only 2% of Christians in America even pray with other people. It means 98% of Christians who people professing Christ. This comes from George Barna, by the way. 98% of Christians, that means never come to a prayer meeting. I have good friends that pastor churches and they say, we can't even schedule a prayer meeting because no one will come. You see, this is why I think the church needs a revelation of the man on the throne. You know, the burning man? Not that one out in Las Vegas. I'm talking about the one who sits on the throne with eyes burning of fire, hair white as wool.
We need to get a revelation of the man on the throne, because we take him too casually. We take it too casually, my friend. Because again, we're in the middle of a battle, and God is raising up men and women just like you in this place today to be awesome warriors for him. And he's just asking that you surrender everything you have to him. We got to leave religion behind, because that's why we're really good at making religion mad here. If you haven't noticed that, I have the ability to make religion mad. Some of you too, you understand that. But I want to tell you, when you begin to shun cultural norms, say, you know what, I'm going to go for God like this. That's a little too radical for me, brother. That's okay. Come with me. It'll feel weird at first because you haven't done it before. But once you get in it, be like, oh, this is it. This is it. That's why Peter said, we know the judgment of God is coming. That can't be stopped. We know scoffers are going to come. They're going to question. They're going to mock. They're going to want you to try to prove yourself. And Peter said, there's going to be people in pulpits. Jude the apostle says this also in the New Testament. There's going to be people. He calls them clouds without water. They're going to come and they're going to preach and they're going to twist the word and they're going to twist the gospel and they're going to kind of change it up a little bit to make it more accommodating. He said, knowing those days are coming and they're here, you need to be people who live holy, be at peace inside, nothing hidden. You're going to stay in the Word of God because you're going to stay mentally stable when you feel like this world's going crazy. And you're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ all along. And while the world goes to hell in a handbasket, we're going to be like the Israelites in the land of Goshen. We're not going to have the plagues of Egypt on us. They're going to look at us and say, wow, what's going on there? This is exactly what the Lord Jesus is setting up. Because someday there's an exodus coming. And the Lord is looking for people. He can call his own. The Bible says the Lord knows those who belong to him. I'd like you just to stand and bow your head to the Lord right now. I want you just begin to lift your voice to him. Just begin to worship him.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.